Good afternoon. Thank you for being with us on this beautiful day, this afternoon, for spending some time with us. I see actually some of the people who finished the Institute in the audience, and thank you for being here, especially to see some of the results that we're sharing this afternoon. What I want to report on right now is building capacity for community-based organizations that serve African-American populations. And again, this is just a slice of the data that we have that I want to share with you today. My disclosure, I have no relationships to disclose regarding this presentation. Just as kind of a framework for what I'm going to talk about, I want to take a few minutes and talk about how capacity building is defined in the literature. It's in many ways difficult to synthesize a definition of capacity building because many people report different aspects of capacity building and come up with different definitions. Some things that we found in the literature related to capacity building, some characteristics are that it can be tangible, that it's outcomes level, that it's cross-cutting. It can cross individual, organizational, and community domains, that it can be a measure of agency infrastructure, a measure of program maintenance and sustainability. It can focus on problem-solving capability to ensure effective health promotion practice, and particular to the literature on HIV/AIDS prevention and capacity building, we often see that capacity building is associated with evaluation success, successful outcomes of programs, and also the existence of human and social capital. Our project is funded through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, so I want to point now to one of the definitions that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has used to define capacity building. First of all, as a process for individuals, organizations, and communities to develop skills to enhance and sustain HIV prevention efforts. And secondly, promoting self-sufficiency and sustainability of a CBO to improve HIV prevention programming. So this, with this in mind, we approach capacity building. As Dr. Richter introduced earlier, the Institute for HIV Prevention Leadership, again, just a brief overview. We train HIV prevention program managers from community-based organizations located throughout the United States and territories. We focus on and primarily invite minority-based community-based organizations. We provide 9 months of intensive on-site training, which is 4 weeks in Atlanta over the course of a nine-month period, supplemented by what we call the integrative learning experience, which is an intensive homework assignment, if you will. Our scholars, our participants, actually have to take what they learn in Atlanta back to their own CBOs and apply that in a formal manner through the integrative learning experience. And we also do extensive evaluation at multiple levels. Okay, Melva talked briefly about the Scholar Capacity Survey, which is the instrument that we use for the data for this paper. As she said, the Scholar Capacity Survey is administered at 3 points in time. Everyone completes it on day one of the Institute, or IHPL. Following the last instructional session on site, we also have everyone complete the instrument for the second time, or T2, and then we administer it 6 months later to those who completed the Institute, or what we call T3. It assesses capacity or frequency and self-efficacy or confidence in domains of HIV prevention practice and strategic planning and management. For this survey, the scales that we use are a 7-point Likert type scale for frequency and also for confidence. Okay, this presentation focuses specifically on the HIV prevention practice domains. As I said, we also assess strategic management, but that's not included in this report. For the domains for HIV prevention practice that we assess, these are the ones: conducting community assessments, writing goals and objectives, developing and implementing interventions for a primary population at multiple levels, the individual level, a group level, or community level, using behavioral theory and planning HIV prevention interventions, and collecting process impact and outcome evaluation data. We also looked at two processes that support HIV prevention practice, and those are engaging in advocacy and conducting social marketing activities. Each of these domains link back specifically to things that we teach as part of the curriculum. For this study, our analysis, the dependent variables were frequency of performing a given public health activity or process when developing an HIV prevention program, and the level of confidence or self-efficacy for performing that task. For this study, our independent variable was time, and we created scales for frequency and confidence with each item. We conducted a repeated measures ANOVA to look for differences between time 1, 2, and 3. Using Bonferroni multiple comparison method, we did impute missing data points using SPSS, and we did perform all analyses in SPSS version 15. So here are our results. Between 2002 and 2004, 105 scholars completed IHPL. Our instrument changes over the course of time because we want to measure what we teach in the curriculum. And part of our extensive evaluation is to modify and adjust that curriculum as needs arise in the community-based organizations that we serve. So that's a limitation I'll talk about later, but that restricts our sample size in many cases. So from 2002 to 2004, the instrument remained the same. So we used those years for this study. We had a total of 105 scholars that completed the institute. 94, or about 90% of them, completed the instrument at all 3 points in time. For this study, we didn't limit our analysis to those who worked in CBOs that primarily serve African Americans, which left our final N at 67 participants who represented 67 CBOs. Many times we have participants that from the same CBO over the course of years, but in this case, we did only have one participant from each CBO that was represented. There's a sign from something going on in here. Okay, the scholars that remained in the study, we had a total of 67. Most were male, most were African American, most held a bachelor's degree or higher, had worked in HIV prevention for 5 or more years, and had worked at their current CBO for less than 3 years. CBO characteristics from our sample here. Most scholars represented CBOs that employed less than 30 FTE or full-time equivalent employees, had 4 or more FTE employees who work in HIV prevention programs only, and had spent less than $500,000 annually on HIV prevention programs. Most of the CBOs served primarily cities or neighborhoods or worked in multiple counties. Okay, overall trends. This analysis, these results take into account trends across all 3 points in time. And we saw significant increases in frequency with just about everything. Conducting community assessments, writing goals and objectives, collecting evaluation data at all levels, using behavioral theory, developing interventions at multiple levels, implementing interventions at multiple levels, and engaging in advocacy. We did not see a significant increase in frequency for conducting social marketing activities, but we did see significant increases in confidence for all variables. From pre-test to post-test, this is from what we call T1 to T2, which is the first day of the institute, the on-site program, and then at the last day of the on-site program. We saw significant increases in frequency regarding conducting community assessments, implementing interventions at different levels, collecting process evaluation data, collecting outcome and impact evaluation data, engaging in advocacy, and conducting social marketing activities. No significant increases in frequency were reported in writing goals and objectives, developing interventions at multiple levels, or using behavioral theory. And again, we saw significant increases in confidence for all variables. Okay, from post-test to 6 months post-test, the last day of the on-site instructional sessions to 6 months later, we saw significant increases in frequency regarding writing goals and objectives and conducting social marketing activities. We did not see significant increases in frequency in the domains listed here, conducting community assessments, developing interventions at different levels, implementing interventions at different levels, using behavioral theory, collecting evaluation data, and engaging in advocacy. No significant increase for conducting social marketing activities, and actually a significant decrease in confidence for engaging in advocacy. So this was from the last day to 6 months out. Okay, the discussion. Overall, IHPL completion has a positive and highly significant impact on the frequency and confidence with which scholars conduct HIV prevention activities and processes that support those activities. Remember, the first results that I reported was our overall trends that accounted for all three measures, all 3 points in time. And we did see significance in every domain there, except for conducting social marketing activities. Skills learned at IHPL are directly transferable to the CBO, thus the impact extends beyond the individual level. So while we're training the individual prevention program managers, we know, and Jackie's going to talk about this in just a minute, that they go home and share the information with people in their CBOs. So we're much broader than an individual level intervention. The overall positive trends regarding the domains in the study demonstrate that capacity building programs like IHPL provide long-term sustainable skill sets, and IHPL completion leads to increased organizational capacity to provide quality HIV prevention programs to African American communities. If you'll think back at the beginning of the presentation, I showed you the CDC's definition of capacity that we use, and I think we fit very nicely within that the framework of that definition based on our results here. Some strengths in the study: data is collected over 3 points in time to assess longer-term trends in the application of knowledge and skills, and we assessed domains that represented areas in which knowledge and skills can be applied at both individual and organizational levels. Some limitations: scholar understanding of each domain at pretest. At pretest, many times we believe that we'll ask people, do you engage in advocacy? Well, they may not understand what advocacy is, so they may think they do it, but by the end of the institute, they've learned what advocacy actually is and realized that they don't do it to the degree that they thought they did it. So that may be one of the limitations here. Also, the limited sample size. In conclusion, capacity building programs are an investment in local communities, provide much needed skills to HIV prevention program managers in resource limited environments, foster effective evidence-based culturally competent services, and have the potential to address HIV/AIDS in African American communities effectively. And I'll take questions at the end also with the rest of the panel. Thank you very much.